Per signum crucis, te nemicis nostris, libera nos, Deus noster. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins, and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Yesterday we were considering how we are children of God. This is our essence. This is what God has done for us. From mere creature, he has transformed us into something divine. But in Jesus Christ. So that divine filiation goes through and cannot be otherwise through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. Getting closer to God, which is sanctity, is to follow Christ closely, to be identified with him. In everything you are, in everything you do, in your mind, imitating the perfect man. And the perfect man is Jesus, because he's God who has become man. So, if you want to be perfect, you have to be like him every day. An effort that is like a race. It's not actually a race, you're not running. But yes, in many aspects it's a race because you have to advance every day. But it's also a patient waiting for the grace of God to transform us. With the mind approaching Jesus. But you also have the will. So you cannot just think of Jesus and your heart is elsewhere. No, you have to get closer to Jesus with these two powers that you have. Your intelligence, your mind, and your will. To approach him with your will is to love him more and more. Every day, to fall in love with him, because he is the greatest love. This is the situation we find ourselves. We have to be realistic. So, following Christ is not something negative. In fact, Christian life consists in falling in love with Jesus Christ. But it's not something negative. It's not something, don't do this, don't do that, prohibited, this and that. No. It's rather, we can look at it as advancing in love, centered in Christ. To know Christ without intelligence, to love him, to make him known to others, to bring him to all places. These aspects cannot be separated. They have to be given simultaneously. Today I was reading the Liturgy of the Hours, and in the first part there was a psalm, and the psalmist said, the Lord saved me because he loved me. This is the beginning. He loved you. This is who you are. A person loved by God up to the point that he makes you his child in Jesus. But then, in the next portion of the psalm, I read the psalmist saying, I will love you, Lord, my strength. In Latin, diligam te. Diligam is future, future tense. I will love you. And I was wondering, what? Why do you say that you will love him somewhere in the future? And I guessed, I will love you, Lord, means that I recognize that now I do not love you sufficiently. But diligam, I will love you, so I will exert effort to love you more and more. How beautiful. You should never say, enough. Okay, so I'm holy, I love the Lord. Practically, no effort is any longer necessary. I will love you. Because tomorrow, Lord, I will love you. Hopefully, I will love you more than I do today. This is the life of a Christian. This is sanctity. This is Christian life in Jesus Christ. You see, approaching him. That's why St. Paul says that it's like a race. But he says, I will love you, Lord. You recognize that he is your Lord. Not some, extraordinary figure. He's your God. He's your Lord. And you will try to love him. How can I do this? Well, let's repeat the whole sentence. I will love you, Lord, comma, my strength. You want to know how? Well, the Lord is your strength, your fortitude. Let us examine ourselves. Whom do I trust? What is my fortitude? Where do I find my strength? In my wit? In my money? In my connections? In the number of followers I have in the internet? In my website? No. You, Lord, are my strength. Let us rectify now and constantly to be Christ-centered constantly. Well, it's not a matter of doing it once and that's it. It's a constant seeking him in the little things of each day, finding Christ, finding his face. People, in general, they are not satisfied in themselves. They look for something, but they don't know what. They run after a kind of joy that lasts but for a few days, for a few moments, or even for a few years. And then, how much bitterness, how much frustration. Some people even call themselves Christian, even Catholic. But they do not accept the love of God. They do not accept it, at least in its fullness. Love has to be accepted entirely. When a person, a husband, loves his wife, simply he loves his wife. He cannot say, only on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. No, that's not faithfulness, right? So he says, it's my wife. You are mine, I'm yours. Well, these Christians live a sort of cafeteria Christianity. They point out, I want this, I want that. Yes, and a croissant, but not that one. Okay, so they choose what they want. And the rest, well, they don't despise it, but simply, it's not my cup of tea. Some others mix different beliefs, eclecticism. Yes, I'm a Christian, but also I consider Buddha and these practices of, strange kind of contemplation. Many people believe in an impersonal God, a force, impersonal. Especially now new movements like the New Age. Think of God as a confuse force, a cosmic force, they say, a cosmic force, a source of spiritual energy. No, no, no. You, Lord, are a personal God. In fact, three persons, infinite person, infinite in wisdom, infinite in beauty, infinite in power. I adore you with profound reverence. Not three gods, but one God, three persons. Trees have not face. Have you seen I want to see the face of this tree. No. Clouds don't have faces. Nature has not face. It's beautiful and is created by God. But God has a face, we may say. That's why he became man. And as man, or specifically and clearly, has a face. The face of God. So we are talking to a God with a face. You can look at him. You have to recognize his face. But this is not automatic. It's not just 1 second. We have to approach Jesus little by little. So apart from being a race, Christian life is patiently waiting to the moment of that encounter with Jesus, which will be full in heaven only. Meanwhile, we have like little anticipations of that sweet love of Jesus. Do I run the race? Do I exert effort every day to get closer to him? Do I happily wait patiently? It's not a nervous waiting, no. It's like the person who expects to meet the person he loves. So God also waits for us. He's patient with us. When we commit sin, he does not annihilate us automatically. He gives us time to recover. And many sinners, big sinners, do not die fulminated by lightning. No. God waits for them. That's why there is one of the reasons there is evil in the world, to test our love for him. But many, many of us do not want to wait. You remember the Israelites in the desert? You read the sacred history. Moses left the people at the foot of the mountain. He went up the mountain and he was talking to God. An amazing feat, no? Conversation with God. You see that they were not a cosmic force. It was a personal God. And God has not become man yet. But God is a personal God. When he came down from the mountain to the camp of the Israelites, he found them making noise and singing and dancing and praising the golden calf, a bull made out of gold. Cost them money, but they wanted something concrete. They want something at their own image of gold because it's more beautiful, right? So they fell into the temptation of idolatry, that is, manufacturing a God according to my own desires and my own convenience. This happened then in Sinai. This happened now, here, and everywhere. That subtle kind of idolatry. And the people, and this happened to the people who believe in God, and happened now. And we experience at the same time people a sort of reservations, just in case that God may not fill up the expectations of my heart. I hope so much, but will it be enough for me to love him? You see how great sin is this. As if we want to complete God, as if God were not infinite, as if loving God, my heart will not be satisfied, when in fact, loving God is when I will be able to love everything else in Him and through Him. Human love makes sense as long as it is inserted in the plan of God, right? But the Israelites preferred the golden calf, an idol with mouth, but an idol which would not utter a single word. They don't speak. They don't demand. The golden calf nowadays is a pretext, is an excuse to put man in the center of everything. That's why we want to make a God made by our own hands, so that it does not overtake me. It's like an instrument of mine. I am the boss. He is my employee because I made him. You see, it's not God. And this is the continuous temptation, then and now. How many people they there? How often we have also fallen into this temptation of putting ourselves in the center of our own concerns. This is a temptation. But they need a face. Even then, even if it's manufactured by their hands, a face which is a reflection of their own face because they have made it. They are looking at themselves. You and I, we have to look at God. We have to find the features of His face. That's why Saint José María Escrivá used to repeat, "Vultum tuum requiram, Domine." I would seek Your countenance. A countenance, as you know, is deeper than face. Countenance is the face, insofar, is affected by or reveals the state of mind, the look or expression of the face. You look at the face, well, it's there. You consider the countenance and you find out he's hungry, or he's happy, or he's curious, right? The muscles of the face convey. And we have to seek Jesus' countenance. We cannot be looking at the metallic face of an idol built by our own hands. They won't tell us anything. They won't be impossible. They won't be the solution for our life. Yes, many try to grab that false security, but it's in themselves. Okay, so like the joke of the painter who is painting a wall on top of a ladder, and then somebody passes by and hits the ladder, and the painter with the brush try to hold themselves up by holding the brush. Okay, no, he will fall because the brush cannot sustain it. The brush is in his hands, not vice versa. Well, sometimes we want to sustain ourselves from the brush, from our own faults, from our own strength, instead of relying in God, my Lord, instead of loving Him, instead of looking at His face, His countenance, instead of asking Him, "Lord, what do You want me to do?" And then the answer, "Yes, Lord Jesus, and I will love You every day more and more." Reach a moment in which that person who has chosen an idol is unhappy with himself because he realizes once again that the idol does not speak, does not satisfy his desire of love. That person has stopped looking at the countenance of Jesus. And whoever rejects Jesus becomes the prisoner, his own prisoner, the prisoner of his need for love, is my life centered in Jesus? Is my life full of confidence in him? Christian life is not, you know, sort of strange or queer. No, Christian life is profoundly human. We love God, we were saying, with our intelligence, but also with our will, with our sentiments. The heart is an important place in our life in relation to God, in our sanctity. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, you remember saying, fall in love with him. Yes, don't be afraid. Because you need to love. Everyone needs. And the greatest love is Jesus. But Jesus is not there outside us. Saint Augustine says, I was looking you outside and you were inside me. The Lord is very close to you. He's always listening to you. He's always patient listening to you, giving you a second chance, a third, a fourth, until the end of our lives. And he understands you because he is a man like us. He is God, but he took a human nature like yours and mine. He felt profoundly the death of his friend Lazarus. He cried. He was moved with the generosity of that widow. He suffered for us. He rejoiced seeing the children around. He has the same sentiments. Therefore, Christian life is approaching God through Jesus, in Jesus, every day more and more, transforming ourselves into him. We transform ourselves into him when you look at his face, when you, I may say, decipher or find out what he wants from you every moment. Lord, do you want this? Okay. This is what I would choose. Lord, do you want me to stop that, to reject that thought? I will. This is the race. This is the patient waiting for him. And as you do so, your face changes. Yes. Our face improves every day. And we transform ourselves into images of Christ. Icons of Christ, another Christ, and eventually Christ himself. Look at yourself in your prayer as you look at the tabernacle with the light that the Lord sends you. He is your light. And see yourself. How's my face? How are my sentiments? How is my heart? How's my will? Am I Christ-centered? That's why we had to meditate on Jesus' life in the gospel to know him better. We have to accompany him in Bethany, tired after a day preaching, exhausted, real tiredness, like you and me sometimes, real tears. Because in contemplating him, we are encouraged in our difficulties. If he went through this and he completed his task, it is accomplished, his mission. I have to apply myself to it because with his help, he is my strength. With his help, I will end up the race. I will finish my patient waiting because he will be with me and I in him forever. With God the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is the vocation of a Christian, of every Christian, to follow Christ closely, to be identified with Him. My children, to follow Christ, He said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men, is the vocation of every Christian, is our vocation, St. Jose Maria wrote. And to follow Him so closely that we live with Him like the first 12. So closely that we identify ourselves with Him, that we live His life. It's no longer I who lives, it's He who lives in me. St. Paul says, is He living in you? Let's continue advancing. And how can I advance in this identification? Well, it begins not placing obstacles to the grace. Always obedient to the grace of God. Little by little, but also with initiative. Finding ways and means of loving Him more. Not merely passive. That patient waiting is not passive, it's active every day, more and more. My joy, we have to say, is to live in the house of the Lord all my days. It means to live with Him, to be like Mary there, seated down, probably on the floor of the room, very close to Jesus, listening to Him, obeying Him, memorizing His words in order to obey Him, like Our Lady. How this will be? You see, Our Lady does not let it go. She wants to know more about it because she loves, because she wants to obey. And she's given the explanation. And then her decision, be done unto me according to your word. God spoke to her with words through the angels, not by inclination, so with words, specific words, which is the vocation of every person. Your vocation, my vocation, this is what God expects of me, and this is what I will do, because I want to love Him more and more. Because this is the way to approach Him. And because this is the way I want to look like Him. Every day. Like Our Lady did. She was her heart and the heart of Jesus. She loved what He loved. She rejected what He rejected. And just the same we have to say, Lord, separate from me. Take away from me whatever separates me from you.